Previously on Gifted.
I'm gonna be real honest. A big thing lacking in our lives is parental support.
Yeah, Dad, we can play a game of catch or something.
So, do you feel bad about what you did? I feel like we need to talk about that.
You asked me earlier why I've done the things that I've done, and this is why. They don't matter like you and I do.
You know what? I thought you were going to be kind of a piece of shit, but you're kind of cool.
We just lost a wheel off this car, Seth. We're all going to have to take a little more.
We're a team, you know. We can share the load, share the burden.
I come to him and I'm like, hey, this is like my chance of going back to the life that I want, that was taken from me. It's like the only thing I ever really wanted. And I made him aware of the stakes. And then he does this.
I feel like this is a cry for help in a way that we don't know yet.
Do you trust me?
I'm fully embracing the villain arc.
Welcome to Backyard Bards. I am your GM this evening, Austin. We have a bit of a change of pace this week, even from last week. It's just me and one lonely player. Please, introduce yourself.
I don't think I'm that lonely, but hey, it's Alex. You might know me as Paul at this point, aka Mimic. At least I hope you know me by that at this point.
Nice. I guess I want to pick up pretty much exactly where we left off, right? Like, You step through the portal and it closes behind you, and all the people in front of you are like hustling. They're like going about their business from here, it looks like. You've stepped into some kind of complex. It's given off kind of cliche villain vibes, right? Like,
is like caverns. There's like stalactites and like a fucking.
Nah, it's not. It's not natural. It is. It is manufactured. Like the walls, ceiling, floors are all this dark metal. The lighting is unnecessarily moody. You know how it goes. And I think you guys have kind of stepped out into some kind of like laboratory of some kind. And you see the, I guess we're going to keep calling him Big Brain Bezos until you learn otherwise. Big Brain Bezos, he lays hollow on a hospital bed they have set up. And there's like a lab assistant in here dressed in like the full getup, and they start like.
The full getup, like scrubs and like a. Like, is it, like, surgical, or is it just, like a nurse scrubs, I should say?
I think it's more like nurse scrubs at this, okay. This juncture, yeah. But they're wearing gloves, and they, like, set up hollow, like, an IV and all that jazz. And you can see Hollow's skin. Like, I mentioned that Big Brain Bezos, he stuck him with some kind of syringe, right? Mm-hmm. And he went limp. But you can see that, like, Hollow is moving, even though he's unconscious. And you see that, like, his body itself is not moving. It's his skin.
Well, I I am having a real hard time. Like, his skin is, like, convulsing, or his skin is, like, moving independent of his body?
You get a closer look, and you've probably seen or heard of Death Stranding if you haven't even played it.
I'm aware of it.
Okay, have you seen...
I've seen a lot of the cringy cutscenes. That's about as far as...
Have you seen the bits with the handprints on the skin?
Yes.
Okay, it's kind of like that, except it's coming from inside.
Oh.
And like they're pushing out. Ooh. On his skin.
Yucky.
Yeah, and you could see, like, moving under his clothes, but you can't see the hands. But on, like, his arms and stuff, you can see them moving.
Oh, I don't like that at all. That's... Man, this is... Man, Paolo got, like, real body horror real quick.
Indeed. And then you just see that, like, it settles, and he kind of, like, his body goes still.
And but the nurse see his kind chest of chill is with this?
Faintly... I mean, I think the nurse is just, like, doing all the things that they can. This is a very strange situation, but... Yeah. I think they kind of knew what they were signing up for in this scenario. You know?
Yeah, I'm just curious if, like, they were just like, what the fuck is this, big brain Bezos? You did not tell me this in the job description.
I don't think they're gonna talk to him like that.
Okay.
He's like, see that it's done. And they go about their business. And he walks out, along with the other villains here.
And that includes my father.
Yeah, yeah. He hasn't like turned to address you or anything. He's just walking out of this room.
Okay, I'm gonna follow my dad, I guess.
Sure. And you guys go through, like, winding corridors throughout this complex.
I'm gonna, like, nudge my dad.
Yeah.
While he's walking, and be like, "So these guys are your friends, I guess."
I think he, like, stops. And the others continue, and he turns to you. He says, "I'm not really a team player. You understand? But they are useful allies for now."
Okay. So but we're a team, right, Dad? Like, we're a team. We're father-son duo, right?
Of course.
All right. Yes. Yes. Cool. Cool.
I'm sure you have questions. Maybe this would be a good time before.
Yeah. So where
you really get into it?
So where? What's? Are you just helping them? Are you part of this? Like, what's the master plan here right now?
Well, they broke me out from Tartarus.
Okay. Or at least
gave me the means to escape on my own, I suppose. This Dr. Pride, he seems to have a plan that will upend the world that we know. And that kind of sounds like fun to me.
Okay, fair. And I'm sorry, Dr. Pride, is he stronger 1 month out of the year?
Yes, June.
Does he force corporations to change their Twitter logos?
I don't think he cares about that.
sorry.
I don't know him very well. In fact, I haven't spoken to him personally. I spoke to Stalker,
okay,
who made our introduction, okay, as it were.
Right. Fair enough. Cool. So you're kind of flying blind in this too right now, it sounds like.
You could say that.
Okay. Do you have any idea where we are?
No.
Okay, cool. So we're both kind of on the same level right now. Good to know. So... should we have, like, a special signal between ourselves or anything? Because, like, sounds like you're, like, kind of gonna, like, triple agent them at some point. I feel like we should have, like, a code word or something between you and me.
All right. Suggest one.
Oh, God. Shit. Oh, boy. I didn't think this through. I thought you would have one ready.
I don't need one. You asked for one.
Okay, well, we'll table it for now. We'll table it for now.
All right, no code word. Good to know.
Yeah, good.
I'm so glad we had this conversation.
Yeah, this is very, we learned a lot. This is very helpful. Yeah, I guess I'll just keep tagging along for now. I'm just kind of waiting to see what the move is.
But yeah, your dad kind of just gives you a nod and takes off. I mean, he's walking casually. He's not going fast or anything. But he walks to catch up with the others. And okay. So you guys walk into a large room. I think it is kind of dark and domed. And there is basically a round table in the middle of the room.
I was so hoping that you were going to say there's a big round evil table in the center.
There is, yeah. There is.
Fuck yes.
And there are multiple figures seated around it, including people that you just came here with, as well as some others.
Sorry. How many seats total? Like, is there like a lot of people, or is it just like...
I'm going to say that there are 10 seats. However, okay. Only 6 of them are occupied. Okay. So at the head of the table, we have Dr. Pride. And then I'll just go around in a circle from there. Yeah, then sure. we have Stalker.
Okay.
We have Thin Red Line.
Okay. I feel we're sticking with that, huh?
We are. I think it's just stuck, and I like
it's
it.
It's so
I,
funny. It's so fucking funny.
It's funny. I think it just says so much about his character and the archetype that he represents. So I'm okay with it. And then there is Goliath, a big beetle man. He doesn't really have a chair so much as maybe he does, but I think it's more like a stool. You know what I mean? Because I think he's too big to sit on an actual chair.
A stool. So he's a dung beetle.
And then after that, we have Acid.
Okay. Yeah, I think we had like one run with him. That was in the lab in the storage.
The like the bleach white hair. Capri Sun chrome guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm. And then we have a woman that you have not met before. She's wearing this this like dark green mottled suit, no cape or anything like that, and she has long black hair in a braid, and it like dangles over her shoulder. Okay. And she has like some kind of helmet, but it's laying on the table.
What is does the helmet have any markings, any symbols?
I kind of imagine it like kind of like a Power Rangers style helmet, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And then it has like kind of like fangs on either side of the visor here. I think that when you and your dad walk in, they kind of stop chattering amongst themselves and look to you two. I think your dad is like not particularly impressed. And he just goes
the display of people.
Yeah, and he just goes and takes a seat.
I guess there's a seat open for me. I'll go sit wherever is next to Mark.
I think Dr. Pride raises a finger. Not you.
Like not in this chair or not in this room?
You can stay in the room, but you cannot sit with us.
I mean, what? Can I get like a folding chair or something? Like, I'm not trying to take someone's spot, but I'm just, you know.
No.
Well, I mean, what's the difference between me standing over there and sitting at the table?
I think so. One thing I think you'll notice different about Goliath is on their chest, they have some kind of device. And you hear like a kind of robotic voice come from it.
It is matter of respect.
Has Goliath ever talked up to this point?
No. Not to you, at least.
I mean, yeah, I agree. I think it's kind of disrespectful not to, you know, give someone a chair when they're in your house. I agree.
And I think Dr. Pride looks at your dad. Does he need to leave? We can find him a room. And your dad looks at you.
Disapprovingly or just looks at me?
I think his brow is kind of furrowed. I think he's taking the measure of you.
Okay. Fine, I'll go stand in the corner. Oh, big fucking difference. I'm just gonna have to beat up the biggest guy here on my first day. It's prison rules, baby. Just came out of prison. It's taught me a few things.
Basically, Dr. Pride has some kind of like console built into the table on his end. And he punches some buttons, and a digital display comes up at the middle of the table. And he says, all of the pieces have moved to precisely where we intended. However, we have one last move to make before checkmate. We are sending a team. And he looks to the side. Stalker, Goliath, you two will go. Mesmer, I would like to see what you and your son are made of. And Mesmer gives a nod.
Is Dr. Pride sitting in a chair right now?
I think he's standing up right now. Like, because he's standing up to, like, kind of take charge of the meeting, as it were.
I'm genuinely debating whether I want to, like, be the chair and pull it out from under him as a funny goof, but, like, I don't like him.
You don't have to.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
This is an important, crucial mission that you have. You four will travel to New York. You will create a distraction. Turn the Vanguard's eyes away from Sanctuary, our true target. You need only to make a mess, make a stir, tease the true meaning of your mission, and then promptly return as if you've been beaten. Are there any questions? I think Stalker is like, you said messy. Are there any parameters regarding violence? And Dr. Price says, no. Do as you will. And you hear like a chuckle from Goliath's little voice box. Dismissed. Please begin preparations. And he looks to you.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, a moment of your time, please.
Do I, like, in this room or somewhere else?
Stay here.
Can I at least sit in a chair?
You may.
All right, there we go, moving up.
The others file out, and some of them are, like, giving looks over their shoulders at you guys, but none of them really protest. They just get out of there. And your dad stops at the door and looks back, and he gives you a nod.
Okay. I'll give him, like, give him a quick thumbs up.
He doesn't return it, but he goes to the door and closes it behind him.
Cool as always. My dad is so cool.
Sir, so you sit down. Do you sit down in, like, the chair, like, next to him, or?
I would say opposite him probably is the move.
Okay, so you're just on the other side of the circle.
Yeah. Cool. Cool. I'm gonna shout back. How big is the circle?
It's big. It's fairly big, I think. I have a hard time imagining villains that want to sit elbow to elbow with each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they want a little bit of space. So
that's fair, yeah.
It is nice to finally meet you face to face, Paul. Or is it Mimic? Which do you prefer?
I don't know. Either are fine. Friends call me Paul, so I guess we can roll with that.
Mimic it is.
Okay, great.
I have watched your futures play out. You are an interesting young man, to say the least.
Yeah, I know. Kind of the leader of my little, I guess, my old team, so.
But that's not really true, is it?
I mean,
as I recall, Seth Pace Jr. was the leader for some time.
Oh, I mean, he's more like the intelligence behind the, like, he gives the what do you call it, the dossier. He gives us the rundown, but I, you know, I'm on the field. You go to me.
Because you wouldn't be the intelligence, of course.
Yeah, I don't do the fact-finding.
Would you say that you are loyal to your father?
I mean, I really just met him, but I feel like, you know, blood is always thicker than water, so... Yeah, I'd say pretty loyal, yeah.
That's not the full quote.
Is it not? I don't know. I don't do the fact-finding.
The original quote is, the blood of the Covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. It has the opposite meaning that you intended.
First of all, I thought wombs don't contain water, so that quote is really fucking wild to begin with. But, yeah, the reverse of that then, sure. That's such a weird... Really, where did that come from? Who said that? That's so weird.
It does not have an original author that I am aware of.
Okay, well, good to know, I guess. I won't misspeak again, I guess, and use a phrase that everyone uses that way normally.
I'm sure that you will, in fact, do that.
Okay, well, thanks. Thanks for the confidence in me. Appreciate it.
I believe that you are incredibly dangerous and unpredictable. I don't very much like that. I prefer meticulous attention to detail, rigorous scheduling. I loathe improvisation.
Okay.
I do not believe that you are a cog fit for this machine, but I will give you the opportunity to prove yourself. I do not believe that you will succeed, but I believe in the vision that I have for this world. And if you can make it happen, I would be willing to work with you.
And that vision is what exactly?
I was a hero once. You're old enough that you may remember. I led the Dark Stars for several years. I mentored under Transistor, a truly brilliant woman. She retired early because of new regulations imposed on us. Regulations that would bring her great works to a halt. The government was more concerned with their image than making the world a better place. I intend to deny them both. It's time to start over. This system is broken. I have seen you and your friends escape from consequence thanks to personal connections to the Vanguard. The explosion of Affiance Labs? You children do not see one iota of consequence. Not even a hearing. And I sincerely doubt this matter with Tartarus will go any differently. Where is the justice in that? Any normal person would already be in prison for what you did.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, fair enough. Yeah, I feel like, you know, at least we should have had to pay some damages. So, I mean, glad I didn't, not gonna lie. But,
Not that you could afford to.
I mean, yeah, but again, you didn't have to.
Your mother makes a modest living from what I understand.
You don't have to rub it in. Don't have to rub it in, bud, but thanks, yeah.
Tell me, what exactly happened between your father and mother? Do you know?
No, I know.
And yet you're here with him. Curious. I've seen the reports. It wasn't pretty.
Yeah, well, I mean, I believe in second chances, you know.
I hope your friends feel the same.
It's interesting you still think they're my friends.
Oh, they're not? Well, that's good to know.
They're means to an end, and so far it looks like I'm getting closer to the end.
Indeed we are. I don't believe there will be much of Sanctuary left.
Just Sanctuary?
Well, who knows how it could spiral out of control.
All right, interesting.
And I've positioned myself to rebuild from all that remains.
Okay. Well, devil's in the meticulous details.
Are you calling me the devil?
No. You're reading too much into it.
Am I?
I mean, I think so.
Well, this has been enlightening, truly.
Oh, thank you. I try.
Watching this conversation branch in different directions and seeing how you respond.
I mean, did you have a way you thought this was going to go, or?
I can only see so far, but I knew that it would be interesting.
Okay, well, I aim to please, so you know me.
In a sense, I do.
Okay, sure. Sure you do.
He stands up from the table. Would you like to possess my pants? My shoelaces? Put me in a full Nelson? What tactic is it today? Perhaps possess my chair?
No, I'm good. I'm not so dumb to, you know, bite the hand that feeds me, for one.
We should do this again. I believe you have preparations to make. I have much to take care of as well.
Boy, he full called me out on the pants possession. Damn. Just see that right in my face. The classic. I'm like, part of me is like, does he have some sort of anti-pants possession device on his person if he's so confident?
Yeah. And so he strolls on out of here. What do you do?
Do you have like an assistant that can lead me the right way before you leave? Like, I'm kind of new to this building.
Very well. I will send one for you. One moment. And after he leaves, some like generic villain guard in like tactical gear comes in.
Oh, sick. Love a good mook.
Hey, little man. You need to find a room. I got
you. How much bigger is this guy than me?
He's not taller than you. He's definitely wider than you, because you're kind of a string bean from what I remember.
Yeah, I'm this close to pulling his pants down. Sure. Showing what a real big man looks like.
Yeah, you're like, I don't bite the hand that feeds me. Immediate opportunity. I'm going to pull his pants down.
Yeah, I'm going to pants this guy. He's a fucking idiot. I'm going to get him so good. which also means that this guy sent this guy in with full knowledge that I might pants him, which is even funnier.
Indeed. The truth is, I don't think he cares what happens to this guy. So.
Fair enough. I'm going to ask the guy, I'm like, real quick, can I get to a bathroom real quick? I have been doing a prison break thing for hours.
Of course, there's one over by the dormitories, please.
Okay.
Yeah, and he leads you down the way. And I think you, like, pass some rooms, and some of them are, like, labeled, right? Like, they have the name of the occupant, right? And so you pass by rooms for Stalker, Thin Red Line, Goliath, Acid, and another one for Viper. But yeah, you come to the end, and there's a room on each side, neither of them labeled. And then there are more, but I'm going to just say that there's, like, I don't know, like a dozen rooms here, maybe. Okay. And you presume that you and your dad will not have named rooms.
Okay.
At least for now.
For now, hey.
Hey. But yeah, there is also bathrooms here. So, actually, I take that back. Each room is going to have its own bathroom. So you have a private bathroom.
Okay, gotcha.
I think that's good. At least I feel like it'd be weird to be like, hey, we're gonna make all the villains share the bathroom. Yeah, they don't do that.
we're just sharing showers, you know.
Well, like doing, communal doing bathrooms the... require some amount of trust, right? And villains do not trust each other.
Well, I don't know. I really like to imagine all the boys are in the shower just, like, smack each other's ass with towels. That thing where you, like, twist it up and just...
Yeah, yeah. Giving you the super speed towel. Yeah. Oh, my God.
High speed towel. Really get a crack to it.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, I guess I'll go into either... I mean, does it look like my dad's in one of them already, or just does it matter?
So I think each one is going to have, like, a panel on the outside that, like, says whether the room is locked or unlocked,
okay,
or occupied, you. Or vacant, or whatever.
Okay.
And so there is an unlabeled one that is marked as occupied.
Okay, I will do the non-occupied one then.
After you use the bathroom, or was the bathroom just a fuck around moment?
Well, if there's, I was trying to get to a bathroom. Was there? Sure. But if the rooms have a private one, then I'll use the private bathroom in my room. What kind of toilet is this? Does it have, like, one of those reservoirs on the back with, like, the lid, or is it just, like, a, like, very stainless steel
and
prison
style?
It's
got a bidet.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Wow, very nice.
They're villains, not savages,
not animals. Villains got to have a clean asshole. that's a fact. No, I'm gonna start tearing through my bag, and so do I know again the tracking device is in my suit, correct?
I'm confused as to why you're asking that.
Well, I'm just gonna try and get it out and put it in the bathroom.
Oh, I see. No complaints.
Yeah,
totally fine.
But yeah, I would like to, assuming it's in my suit or pants, I would like to remove the tracker and pull some tape out of my bag, which I definitely have in my bag. This is canon now that I have tape in my bag, and I will tape it to the inside of, like, the toilet tank thing.
Okay. What kind of tape is it?
It's gotta be duct tape because of the versatility, you know?
Sure. I mean, that checks out.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. Yeah. You've done that.
Cool. Okay. So that's out of the way then. All right. So I will knock on my dad's door, though, after that, after I get that all out of the way. I will have also donned my, like, normal garb, not the Target, the Walmart clothes. I don't even remember. Which trash shirt did I have? I don't even remember. It's fine.
It was Protect Your Nuts with the squirrel on it.
I thought that was Drew's. I thought mine was...
No, Drew had the Naruto shirt.
Oh, I thought mine was the I'm about to level up and you look like enough XP or something. I don't remember.
We talked about a lot of shirts.
There's
so
a lot. It
could have been that one too, but it was something along those lines.
Whatever it was is going direct into the trash can that is in my room, I'm assuming, and will stay there for the rest of the series.
Cool. I also think that there is, like, like the facility is pretty nice. Like it's a big room. It's not like just a bedroom. It's kind of like a loft apartment type deal.
Ooh, very nice. It's like a little office space.
Well, I say that because I wanted to mention that there is like a laundry for washing the shit off of your pants.
Are my pants still covered in shit?
Yeah, and your underwear, yeah.
Okay, so, I will definitely use I will use the laundry. I completely forgot we had not cleaned my shit soaked pants.
You've had shit clothes inside of your
I'm gonna wash the backpack while I'm at it. Do they have like basic tactical gear or something in a drawer, or like just basic clothing in a drawer I can wear in the meantime?
Sure. I mean, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Just put on some, I guess, villain slacks and a nice villain tee and just some good old villain pants.
Yeah.
Very pleated.
Yeah. It looks evil.
There's something sinister about them. Yeah, and then I will knock on my dad's door while I'm going through the spin cycle.
And he comes to answer the door directly. And he has cleaned up. He's like totally groomed himself, and it looks like he's like ironed his suit and stuff. He looks crisp as hell. He's put back on that same suit, that same deep blue suit. Looking like a dapper gentleman, of course.
Fantastic. And then he's like, "Hey, Dad, can we talk for a sec?"
He like looks out into the hallway, and then waves you to come in, and the door closes.
So working with Stalker and Beetle, I don't really trust them a lot. I think we actually should get the code word now.
Oh, now we're ready for code words.
Yeah, we're ready for the code word.
Great. What you got?
Beans.
Beans.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that'll be the signal to if shit goes south and we need to scram or something.
Very well. I will say, I don't think they trust you either.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I did kick their ass one time, so that checks out.
Did you know?
I mean, I helped at the very least.
Always the nugget of truth under it, huh?
I mean, it's not wrong what I said, you know?
Yeah. Well, very impressive, as always.
Thank you. Oh, I know, thanks. I know. I've been getting better. I mean, that was when I was starting out, too. That was like my first real fight with power. So, you know, I've only gone up from there. In fact, I don't know. I'm like looking around. I feel like the rest of this supervillain team is way less impressive than one would think, you know?
Oh, maybe you should give him a go.
Yeah, maybe. Like, what does Viper even do? I don't know. I haven't seen her in action yet. I think I've fought most of the others at this point.
Well, I've been in prison for a while, as you know, but I remember hearing about her. She is a speedster of some variety. Something about an assassination attempt on the president or something.
Huh.
But that was years ago.
Okay. Cool. So she's a speedster. Interesting. Interesting. So, also, again, I'm kind of new to all of this, obviously. The as far as the whole creating a diversion thing, so are we like, I don't know, are we gonna plan that with those two guys, or are we just gonna go there and fuck shit up? I don't really know what the deal is with this, or how this group operates.
They haven't really told me specifically, but I'm not overly concerned.
Okay, I mean, what's your plan right now?
Well, my specialty is crowd control. So I'm probably just going to mess some people up. It seems funny. I really haven't, let it rip like that in a while.
Okay, cool. I mean, should I have like earplugs in for this time with around you? Or can I trust you to not keep making me do things this time?
It would probably be smart. I expect we'll encounter resistance.
Okay.
I may not have time to give more complicated commands.
Okay, sounds good. I will definitely plug the old ear holes then. Classic. All right, cool. I mean, again, this is all very weird. Are we just going to be dropped in the middle of this? Like, again, I'm sure you're kind of we're going to have some more. Is there more detailed briefing coming? Do you know? This is all really weird.
It seems pretty straightforward to me, but they seem to play it close to the vest. Okay. This Dr. Pride likes to control information. And if we don't need to know, then we don't need to know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I'm just used to, again, the old team, the old reporting structure. I'm just trying to get a grasp of things right now.
Yeah, I can't say that I have much respect for the chain of command, so.
Oh, cool. Yeah, me either, dude. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Chip off the old block, huh?
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, sorry, maybe I missed this during the meeting, but did they say a time frame when we're doing this? Or because I might need a nap or something real quick.
How about you go nap and I'll find out.
Sounds good.
Sure. So you return to your room and nod off?
Yeah, I'll take a quick nap. Is there a clock in the room?
Sure.
See, I am genuinely curious about what the time is.
All right, so it is about 3 hours back.
Okay, gotcha. So we're on the other coast. Interesting. I will actually, because you brought it up, I will look at my phone real quick. Do I have any cell service?
No, not here.
Figured as much. Okay.
Yeah. So you go to sleep?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, sure. So you are jolted awake by the sound of pounding on your door.
Okay, I'm gonna open the door. Oh, is there a fish or eye hole? How do you call those?
You were thinking fish eye lens.
Yes.
Or peephole.
Yes, thank you.
There is not now.
There's no fish hole.
I think there's probably a display on the inside. You know what I mean? That shows who's right outside the door.
Oh well, then does it show?
Yeah. You see a Goliath standing there.
Yeah, I guess I'll open the door.
Little boy, you are late. It's time to go.
Okay, well, first of all, maybe give me a schedule next time. All right.
And he gestures with his vestigial arms, the smaller ones, you know?
Okay, all right.
I think I mentioned this before, but he's got like the four
arms. The little arms, yeah.
The big bulky arms and then the smaller arms.
Yeah.
He's like waving you on.
Was he stag beetle style where he's got like the big horns on the top?
Yeah, I described him as a Heracross initially.
Thank you. Yes, okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll follow along, be like, you know, again, just reiterating again, really, you guys keep saying meticulous details and you just really seem like everything's just kind of happening all the time.
Your father said you would be ready.
I mean, I am. So here we are. Let's go.
Done.
So I think he leads you through some corridors and like, sometimes the door is just a bit too small and he has to like stoop and like, you know, wedge his shoulders through. But basically, I think they have kind of like an armory room set up like for like mission prep. And I think Stalker is in here like fiddling with different guns, trying to find the one he wants to bring along. Like very like kind of John Wick style. Like lay out the guns on the table and he picks it up. He takes it apart. He puts it back together. He looks down the sight. He's like,
I'm just going to grab a gun.
Just any, old gun.
Just a pistol probably.
Sure.
Something
there's
that's
like
not a revolver.
Not a revolver. That was my question actually. Yeah. So we're good. I think
classic Colt 45 would be fun.
Yeah, I think he's just going to like strap on a bandolier of various grenades. And some of them look kind of sci-fi.
Ooh.
So their like exact effect is maybe not known. And I think Goliath is going to like, maybe he's got some like, some kind of like big, like meaty metal gauntlets.
I was really hoping he's going to actually be holding 6 assault rifles.
That's not really his speed. So, like, I think, like, he gets something kind of, like, bladed, potentially for, like, digging, slashing, that sort of thing. I think your dad is not going to grab a gun at all.
That sounds like him.
He's like, I don't need these.
Yeah. I'm just going to grab one for funsies. Just because we've been making jokes about me having a gun in my backpack. That's honestly 90% of the reason I'm grabbing one. I'm trying to think if there's any like dumb equipment I want to grab off the wall.
Sure. I imagine there's some like mall ninja shit if you really want something specific.
Mall ninja shit.
Yeah, dude. Whatever.
I love the description. I'm sorry. Do they have like one of those like guns that shoots like a fucking rope with a hook on the end?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, absolutely. I'm grabbing one of those.
Well,
I'll
probably live to regret this, but I think that's fun.
Yeah. Make sure I make a note that I have that now. Rope gun. Do they have like a cell phone? That's not a cell phone. It's a bomb, but it looks like a cell phone.
That might be a little more like mission specialized. I don't know if they would have that on hand.
Fair enough.
An interesting idea. Like I imagine that they would have like detonators and like plastic explosives type of deal. You know what I mean? But I don't know that they would have a phone.
I will grab one remote explosive, of some kind. Probably a smaller one. Something that's like a huge brick, if that's a choice.
Not a huge brick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I guess everybody kind of checks in, or Stalker's like everybody ready to go, and you get a,
duh.
And your dad's like, "I'm ready."
Yeah, I'm like good to go.
Stalker opens a portal, and he gestures for you guys to pass through. Goliath is happy to go, dump, 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 and he just strolls on through.
I'll go in after Goliath.
And then your dad after you, and then Stalker at the end, and then the portal closes. And you guys step out onto the streets of New York. You guys are out in front of some kind of like tech lab. Right, like you're not in like Times Square or anything like that, but it's relatively busy. And Stalker gestures to the building. Start here, expand out.
And sorry, he's pointing like into the building, or just like pointing like at the block.
He points at the lab and then expands his gesture to encompass the area around. Now there are people out here on the street, and some people by the time you come through are already running away because Goliath is the first to spill through the portal.
What's Goliath doing right now?
So what he's going to do is he does his spin into a pill bug thing.
Classic.
And he's going to just plow into the fascia of this this tech lab. You know, you hear the shattering of glass, the breaking of walls, concrete. People start screaming and running away, and Stalker is going in behind him. And your dad looks to you.
Uh-huh.
He says, "Crowd control." And he's going to turn to address the people in the immediate vicinity. I want to know, what do you do?
I'm going to follow Stalker and the pill bug into the tech lab.
All right. So I think that, like, as you go to walk in, a portal opens on the building above you, on, like, the side of the building, and a guy comes flying out.
Oh, Jesus
and
Christ.
He hits the ground next to you, and then the portal closes up there.
And that guy's dead, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he's big dead. Yeah, this is really just kind of all of a sudden hitting Paul, that he did this to kind of get some intel, and now he's in the middle of a genocide situation or mass slaughter situation. Not really liking it.
Yeah. But yeah, you're like making your way into the, I don't know if you like stop here at the entrance, or I guess the hole might be more accurate at this stage. Do you still go in?
I'm going to still go in at this point.
Okay. Sure. And you can hear your dad, through your headset. You hear him yell freeze, and people out in the street are stopping like someone stops and they get like hit by a car and their body just like ragdolls end over end into the street. But the screaming immediately around here stops.
Yeah, that's nice at least. That's a bonus.
Is it?
It beats the screaming.
For now, maybe. You follow into the building and it's a mess. Goliath has just pulverized everything directly in front of him.
And how much of that includes people?
Definitely some.
Okay.
So there's like some like meaty pulp and slashed bodies from his slicing maul fists, as it were.
Okay.
It seems like they've encountered resistance. You can hear the sounds of gunfire inside.
Gotcha.
And some of that is probably his, but some of it also from other people. Like you hear like automatic fire. He didn't bring like a machine gun with him or anything like that.
Okay, is there an elevator or like stairs or something?
I think so, because this is a several story tall building.
Yeah.
What's your goal here?
Get away from this for the most part.
Yeah, so you're trying to, air quotes, participate without participating.
Yes.
All right, yeah, you dart out of the way off to the side, like offshoot, trying to stay out of the trail of carnage. And you find, get out of the way, and this the security guard pops up. He sees you, he clocks you. He's got a gun trained on you. What do you do?
I become the gun.
Uh-huh.
Can I just do that, or do I need to?
No, you're fine. And then what do you do?
I will become the gun until he gets confused and I guess thinks I'm gone.
Sure. He looks around. He's like, where'd he go? And you can hear on his little shoulder radio the screams of his dying comrades. He heads off towards the carnage with his gun in hand.
Okay. I will disassemble the gun and be like, get out of it and be like, I am so sorry, and continue just like running.
Sure. So the gun disassembles itself in his hand, parts of it clatter to the floor. You know, he's like left holding the grip basically.
Yeah.
And maybe the body of it, but the other pieces all just come apart. And he's like, what the fuck? And then you say that.
Yeah.
And he's like,
I got one heading towards the east wing.
Oh God, Christ. Oh fuck. Okay.
I'm really not sure what you expect.
I thought he'd be cool. Oh boy. Is there, I don't know, like a boiler room in this building probably?
I think that makes some sense that there would be one. Yeah. I don't know if it would be like down below.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be like a basement level.
I don't know if there's like signs pointing at or anything either, but like I feel like usually civilly with large buildings it would be easy to assume bottom floor, I feel like makes the most sense. Or like basement floor.
I'm inclined to agree. I think it would be B1F.
Yeah.
On the elevator.
Yeah, I'm gonna make my way towards B1F.
Sure. And you're gonna take the stairs?
Yeah.
Sure. So there's not an exactly an appropriate one, so I just want you to unleash your powers. That's the catch-all. And this is kind of a substitute role for reaching there without running into any resistance.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, 7 plus freak, so that'll be a 9.
Okay, so you can mark a condition, or I'll tell you how it's unstable or temporary.
I'll deal with temporary.
Temporary? Sure, so you get to the stairs, and you hear the shouts of armed men nearby. And you slip through the door, and the door closes. And I think that one or more of the guys hear the door close.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hold up. I heard something.
I'm separated by a door right
now. That's right.
What's in the room with me?
This is the stairs down to B1F.
Okay, I become the door.
Yeah, I guess maybe you... That way you can see that there's three guys with guns here. And they are creeping towards the door.
Okay.
And one of them is like, if you're an employee, come out. We are friendly.
Does the door open towards the staircase or towards the hallway?
Towards the hallway.
Okay. I am going to just kind of let them do them while I'm a door. And that way they'll probably just get confused and leave.
All right. Yeah, sure. And they grab the door handle. They slowly twist it and pull it open. And they do kind of a quick maneuver where the guy who opens the door is not the person who goes inside, right? Mm-hmm. One of the guys goes in and he does the doors and corners check with like a flashlight on a machine gun type of deal. And after a moment, they're like, there doesn't seem to be anybody here. And you can hear like calls on the radio like,
hey, we need help over here.
They're like, hmm. All right, let's go.
Okay, gonna get out of the door and keep going towards the basement then.
Sure. And I think that like it's kind of dark down here. It's like emergency lights, the red blinking lights in the boiler room.
Well, I pull the flashlight out of my bag, of course.
Sure. You find like an engineer like cowering down here in the boiler room. Sweaty mess.
Yeah, I'm gonna come back. Hey, man, I'm not gonna hurt you. I swear.
Oh shit! Who are you?
Hi, I'm Paul.
Where the fuck did you come from? Oh my.
I've just walking around. I'm trying to find the boiler room.
I mean, I guess you're here.
Okay, so go up the stairs and run out the hole in the wall and just keep running.
The coast is clear?
Probably.
Can you like, if it's so clear, can you like lead me there?
No, I can't.
That doesn't sound very clear.
I mean, it's...
I'm probably just going to stay here.
No, don't stay here, buddy.
Why not?
Okay, I'm just going to pull the bomb out of my bag. I'm like, just get out of it. Please get out of this room.
Oh, fuck, a bomb. Oh, shit.
The one room-sized bomb.
Well, this is branching in interesting ways. He's booking it up the stairs, huffing. You know, he was already so sticky, sweaty. He's just...
Mm-hmm. I am going to just plant the bomb in the boiler room and try to get the fuck out of the building after that, and then detonate it and hope that caused some sort of chain reaction.
You hear Stalker on your radio, and he's like,
Paul, anybody got eyes on Paul?
Hey, what's up?
Where are you?
I'm in the boiler room. I'm gonna just I'm doing some things down here. There's a couple people we're missing in the basement, so you know.
The fuck are you doing down there? I said start there and expand out. You went deeper in.
Well, yeah, but I'm trying to kill two birds with one stone here and get rid of one building quicker. You guys are taking your time, so you know.
Yeah, we're trying to make a show of it.
Yeah, I'd argue an explosion's a pretty big show, but you know.
All right.
And you hear your dad.
Looks like you fellas let one slip past you. Got an engineer here.
Oh, god damn it. I knew that was going to happen. I knew it.
I think the authorities are closing in here. You guys need to get the fuck out.
Yeah, I will plant the explosive and get the fuck out of there.
Sure. And so you're heading back out the hole you came through?
Probably, yeah.
Sure. So you walk outside into the broad daylight, and your dad is standing there out in the middle of the street. There are bodies everywhere. Cars stopped with doors open. More bodies outside on the floor, on the ground near them. There's a man on his knees over by your dad. He is in an engineer's uniform.
Is it the same guy?
It is, yeah. And your dad looks to you. Paul, just in time. And he waves you over.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, and the man is crying, but he seems weirdly restricted.
Uh-huh.
And he looks up at you and he sees you. And your dad says, Son, I really worry that you're not going along with the purpose of this mission. Have you even killed anyone?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I believe you. But if you have, then this should be easy. I want you to kill this man. Where the cameras can see you.
Like, I don't really have a... Like, with my hands?
You can get creative.
I mean... Look, I mean, that's... That's a little too personal, right? I don't need to do that. I've always been kind of a hands-off guy.
In this line of work, you need to get your hands a little dirty.
I mean, you don't really ever get your hands dirty. You just tell people to stop and have things happen indirectly. I don't think you're really one to talk right now.
And yet, the authorities will look at the security footage and see that I am responsible for these. He gestures at the bodies here in the street. Come now. Taking this man's life is no different than playing with one of your silly toys. You know that I could simply make you do it.
No.
Very well. Tell me, do you have a bladed weapon of some kind?
I usually carry a knife in my backpack, yeah.
May I have it?
Sure.
I'll give it back to you.
Okay. I'm gonna give him the knife.
All right, he takes it by the blade. Extends it to the engineer. Take it.
God.
And the guy lifts up a shaking hand to take the knife.
I have a feeling I know where this is going.
And he points to his own abdomen. He says, gut yourself from here to here. And the guy, he takes his other hand and he's like holding onto his wrist and his arms are shaking and he's crying and he's trying to stop himself. And the blade slowly moves towards his abdomen.
Is my dad looking at me right now?
Yeah. Like, he's watching you closely to see what happens. I think he just wants to see your reaction to this moment.
Mm.
Like, mm-hmm. I don't think your dad feels any particular bloodlust. You know what I mean? I think he's done this a gazillion times. He's more interested in what you think.
Oh, my God. This is a kind of a no-win situation. It's like three ways I can take this right now, and I don't know which one to do. Oh my god. Yeah, I'm gonna shoot Mark in the head.
Well, that's interesting. Huh. Okay. Sure. So you draw your pistol and you fire a round into his head.
Mm-hmm.
There's a spray of blood and he drops. The engineer is freed from this compulsion, and the knife drops from limp fingers.
Mm. Okay.
You hear the sound of crashing coming from inside the lab, and Goliath comes rolling out, and Stalker steps out from a portal out here.
Uh-huh.
You see, like, armored vehicles come peeling around the corner, pulling up, and they stop, and you see all of these armored men come pouring out. They got, like, riot shields and guns. The guns are looking a little futuristic.
Ooh.
But they're all in, like, this dark tactical gear, and they have a sigil on their shoulders. It is an eye, and the pupil is a lightning bolt. Stalker's, like... he sees your dad there, clearly dead. What happened?
Yeah, someone got him. I'm gonna look panicked and confused.
The engineer, he stands up and he starts running away. And your dad's body twitches.
Uh-huh.
And he rolls over. And he gets up onto his hands and knees, and you can see the skin inside of his head, his brains, his skull stitching itself back together. And he says, "Someone."
Hey, Dad, I don't think the you and me thing's gonna work out anymore.
I'm Loki. You think I've never had a demigod before? What's one more?
Okay, that's, you know, I thought we were kind of having a thing there, showing your true colors.
It was useful.
Yeah, what the fuck, man?
I told you. This is all for fun.
Yeah, I feel like we have really differing ideas of fun at this point, man. I don't know. I got caught up in it. This is not ideal.
I'm so disappointed. I thought you were made of sterner stuff than that.
Well, I guess not. I guess you also, you know, don't take bolts to the head as well as you're playing it off as you do.
And you can hear the guys, all the armored folks, shouting orders and stuff, lining up. And I think a figure hops over them and like kind of almost like floats, like an astronaut jump, and lands in front of them.
Okay.
I think he's kind of a, I would say like roughly average height guy. Dark hair, dark eyes, and he's wearing like a, I think like a skin tight suit, something like I don't know, something in the vein of like Daredevil maybe. And he shouts to you all, stand down, surrender, and you will be spared. And Stalker, Goliath, and your dad's attention turn to this guy. What do you do?
I'm just going to get in like a fire hydrant or something.
And you just wait?
Yeah, I'm just going to wait it out a little bit.
Sure. And so these three villains here, they share a look and they nod. And so Goliath is going to start just rolling end over end towards them. And, you know, some of the, well, let's just say the guards, they start firing and some of their weapons like bounce off of his shell. And the guy who is facing off with them, he like does like kind of like a martial arts, he like stomp into the ground and the asphalt rips apart in front of him and like that top layer starts to float up.
Like some earthbending shit?
Not precisely, but kind of similar. And Goliath like starts to like spin end over end, and he gets lifted into the air. And this guy, he does like he like runs along the bits of asphalt that are floating, like it through the air. And he does like a flip, and then he kicks down, and like rockets Goliath into the ground, and it just creates this like massive crater shockwave that blows a lot of the guards behind them off their feet. I think even maybe Stalker and your dad as well.
Mm.
And I think from this point, it's just like an explosion of chaos. Like Stalker turns, he opens a portal under a car, and then the car falls on top of some of the men over on the other side.
Oh, God.
What do you do?
Is there anything near Stalker right now?
Define anything.
Like any inanimate object.
I mean, probably, sure. I don't know what your intention is. If you can kind of give me an idea, we can think of an object or...
You go for the support characters first. You always go for the support characters first. So I think... Here, actually, easy one to start with. Is my fire hydrant pointing at Stalker right now?
Yeah, I think that's fine. Even if there's not one pointed directly at him, you can just turn it. So yeah, sure.
Sure, let's do that. And then from there, there's still piles of corpses in the street, right?
I don't know about piles, but yeah, there are. There certainly are. There's a bunch.
Yeah, so I am going to, I hate having to do this again, but I am going to use a body and see if I can grab the knife the engineer dropped, and I'm just going to go for Stalker while he's distracted. Kind of come in from a different direction so that he doesn't fully process what's happening.
Okay, so what was the purpose of the hydrant?
Just to hit him, knock him over, get him off his feet, or distract him otherwise, and then I kind of come at him from a second angle.
Okay, so you are opening the end of the hydrant to spray him. Okay, correct. Sure. Let's do unleash your powers for that. Yeah, for the hydrant part, we'll see how effective it is.
Let's see how I do. 5 + 4 = 9 + 2 = 11.
11. Okay. So yeah, that's a success. Yeah. You open the hydrant, the water gushes out. It knocks him off of his feet.
Okay.
And then you're going to get a hold of a knife.
Yeah. I'm going to try and use one of the other bodies lying around again, very morbid, but try and get the knife that the engineer dropped and get him with it.
Okay. Sure. So let's directly engage a threat.
Let's see. Plus danger. 6 plus 2 plus 0. 8.
8. Okay. So you get to choose one from the list.
I will... here's what I'm going to do. Okay. Do I get on top of him when I do this?
I think it's going to be hard with the gush of water to have like a super solid position. I feel like it'd be more like you guys tussling inside the stream of water. You know,
regardless, we're tussling inside the stream of water. But my goal is take a grenade and pop the pin.
Okay, that's an interesting idea. So I imagine that in the tussle and the gouts of water, it's probably hard to pick a specific grenade.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I want.
Turns out it was Chekhov's grenade.
It's the sci-fi grenade. Chekhov's sci-fi grenade.
So you air quotes pull the pin on this grenade, and there is a couple of seconds here while you guys are jockeying for position inside the gout of water, and then whoosh, it expands in this explosion of foam, and the water just like rips through parts of it, but you guys are kind of covered in this kind of sticky foam.
Okay.
I think Stalker is like screaming, like this is just like a cacophony of like what the fuck's going on. You know what I mean?
Oh, I was like pain screaming or like is
I, don't,
it
I don't think so.
Algae
I think it's
foam?
Like no, I think it's like just like a roar of like what the hell.
Did I get a stab on him?
Yeah. Non-lethal. But still
got a good one.
Yeah. Like there is like a red stream, but the water is just like way outpacing it in terms of volume. So it's pretty faint. I think what he does is he opens a portal under him.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys are going to like basically move across the street.
Gotcha.
And kind of land in like a wet, almost soapy looking mess. And he's on the radio like,
we got to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear your dad shouting commands and stuff.
I'm going to try and shank him one more time if I can.
Yeah, that's fine. You can give it another shot if you'd like.
Yeah, I'm going to try and gank it. It's just directly engage again.
Yeah, let's do that.
Man, my roll's been good so far. It's got to fuck up at some point. Or not. I'll take an 11.
An 11. Okay. All right, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'm doing really good.
Let's see. So you get to choose two.
I'm going to... I'm going to just fucking avoid blows and try to pull another pin, honestly. Worked pretty good the first time.
Sure. You do, and the grenade explodes in a flash of bright light. The body that you're in can no longer see, but neither can he.
I will get out of the body for a second and just start beating the shit out of him.
Yeah, and he's like,
Goliath, give me a hand.
And you see, you see Goliath on the far end of the street. He's like rolling, and he comes straight at you.
Okay, I'm gonna get in a car.
Also, he's laying there, and like the dead body is on top of him.
Yeah, I really love the imagery of this. But like, there's a dead body, with, like a knife in him, actively, and he's like, yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna try and get into a car.
Okay. Yeah, you hop into a car.
Preferably one that's angled, not. It'll be on like the side of the street that Goliath's coming at me from, and then I would like to just like you know draft behind him so that I can just run over Stalker in a second.
So what happens is he rolls up and comes to a stop. In front of Stalker, and he like rips the dead body off, and it like just kind of like splits in half from the force of the toss.
Jesus Christ.
And so you come barreling behind him. So I feel like we're going to continue on with the direct engage of threat here. I think that's still the best fit for what we're
that's
doing
fair.
Here in this scenario.
Yeah. This will be the one where I fucking beef it big time. Yeah, that's a 4.
Okay. So mark a condition, mark a potential.
Let's. I'll go hopeless. Fuck it. It's the only one that makes sense right now.
Yeah. So I think you go just driving like full gas as fast as you can, with the time you're given to accelerate. And I think Goliath hears the car coming. He turns around and, he brings his fist down and punches down into the hood of the car. And like basically dislodges the engine, from the engine bay. And the back of the car lifts up off the ground. Now he is like kind of pushed back some, but his like clawed bug feet dig into the asphalt. But the car is KO'd.
Okay, yeah, so I'm out of it at that point then.
Yeah. And so I think he sees you, and he's gonna like try to swing the car around and down onto you.
I crush you.
Okay, I will real quick. I'm going to take the form of the knife and stab fucking Stalker again.
There's nothing to move the knife in this scenario.
Damn it.
Because the body's gone. Actually, I think the knife probably got dislodged along with it.
That's fair. You did rip it. I thought I'd try to just stabbing the absolute shit out of him.
That's totally valid.
Yeah, so then actually, can I see Stalker?
It's like you guys are like laying down on the ground nearby each other, right?
I become a grenade on his jacket.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm
just gonna
grenade
the shit out of this man. He fucked up by getting grenades.
I mean, maybe so. Let me get unleash your powers.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
This is a high pressure situation.
This is kind of the part where it's like now it's gonna start crumbling down for my 3 fire rolls in a row. Ooh, you love to see it. So 5 plus 4 plus 11.
Okay. Sure. So you're successful. You possess the grenade.
And pull that pin, baby.
So the car comes crashing down where you used to be. And I think it just like comes apart.
Mm-hmm.
The frame is all bent to shit and it's barely a car anymore. And you pull the pin.
Yes.
This is what I get for just trying to improvise a grenade bandolier because I thought it'd be fun.
Yeah. You know,
it's going to come around to bite
you. Fucked it. It's truly Chekhov's grenade.
Truly. sure. So just roll me a D6.
6.
Okay. Well, that's the gravity grenade.
Awesome.
It like pulls Goliath on top of
Stalker.
On top of Stalker, yeah. And kind of at least crushes part of them. I don't know. he's having a bad time.
Stalker's getting fucked up.
Well, you put all your attention into killing him, so
yeah, fair enough. I guess because I'm gonna have to come out, but I'm just gonna try and fuck me. I'm gonna go into like a street lamp or something.
Stalker opens a portal under him, and he falls through it. And then Goliath also, because he's kind of there anyway, he's just gonna like tumble into the hole, and then the portal closes.
Okay, but they don't appear somewhere back in the street.
Not that you can see.
Okay.
And I think that your dad is there, like, and he's like co-opted some guards, and they're like fighting their companions or whatever. And he sees that his companions are gone, and a portal opens behind him, and he goes, "Beans," and he steps through it, and then the portal closes behind him.
You've beaned me, Austin.
Have I?
You've absolutely beaned me. Oh, shit.
You entered New York City, right?
Yeah.
And a lot's been happening, okay? And you finally, like, cut loose after the action dies down. And you've got several notifications on your phone now that you've got some signal.
Oh, yeah.
It's from your mom.
Okay.
It starts off kind of innocuous enough, like, hey, where are you? You know, stuff seems to be crazy in Atlanta tonight. Just want to make sure you're safe. Mm-hmm. And it gets, the messages get more frantic. And then there's one, the last one. And it's like, I saw you on the news. They showed your picture with him. I can't believe what I'm seeing. That was the last message.
I'm gonna just do a quick text message that says, I can explain. Trust me, I'll tell you when I get back.
You get the red receipt. You see ... Then they stop typing.
Cool. I guess I'll just deal with that when I get back. I don't there's not much I can do right now.
Yeah, sure. So we can fast forward to you're back in Sanctuary. Mm-hmm. Does that change your plan at all, or
I would have to link up with the boys at some point.
Uh-huh.
So fuck me. It's like I do think first order of business is get with the boys and tell them I put a tracking thing wherever the fuck the secret lair is.
Yeah. So to do that, you're going to go to the House of Waffle?
Yes.
You get there. Do you take the elevator? What do you do?
I'll take the elevator. Yeah.
You get down there and the lights are off.
Okay. So I turn the lights on.
You can see like the House of Waffle is intact, but it appears to be empty.
Okay, is there like a note? Did anyone leave a note?
No.
Okay. Well, I imagine I could pull up the supercomputer and the other guys would have their tracking devices on and I could see where they're at.
Yeah. So actually, I think it's probably safe to say that each of them is like home at their respective homes, Lily included. Lily, Seth, Harvey, Max, all at their own respective homes.
In that case, then I would just go back to my mother's house then and then go deal with them later.
Sure. You get there and there's an extra car out front beyond your mom's.
Do I recognize the car?
It looks kind of new, actually. So it doesn't look familiar to you.
Okay. I'm going to put earplugs on and walk through the door just in case Mark's doing some bullshit.
Yeah, you step inside and you hear hushed voices. The voice of a woman and the voice of a man.
Oh, is it Dan?
It is.
Oh, God.
Here in the common room, your mom is on the couch and Dan is there with her. He's got his arms wrapped around her. It looks like he's been consoling her.
Mm-hmm. That checks out. Dan fucking would. son of a bitch.
But I think, I feel like your mom it would be the one like facing the door in this situation. And so she looks up at you and her eyes are wet. And she doesn't have her prosthetic on right now. But she looks up at you. Paul, what are you doing here?
I said I was going to explain what happened.
And I think Dan stands up and he's like a little puffed up. You know what I mean?
Okay. Dan's been working out.
No, I just, well, you know, maybe a little bit. Cause like, I kind of imagined that your mom dumped him. Right. And he was like, I'm on like the fix myself.
His self-improvement train.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Trying to get his woman back as it were. And so, you know, he kind of walks up to you. He's like, hey, man, I think you needed to leave.
Hey, Dan. Okay, first of all, Dan, I want to say I'm sorry to you for everything. I really get it now. I fucked up. It's like I had to help a friend. I didn't want to do it, and I tried to capture him after, and it went south, and I'm back, and I don't want to deal with him anymore, and it fucking sucks, and he's the worst, and I know it looks bad, but I just want to be done with it.
We should be calling the police.
On me?
Yeah.
On Why? You. No, Dan. Dan, this is me opening up to you for once. For once ever, Dan. I had a really bad time, and I know what happened in the past, and I'm really sorry. And I get it. I really get it. He's the worst. I absolutely understand that. But don't call the police on. Why would you? No.
He made her chop her own fucking arm off while I was in the other room and couldn't do anything to stop it. And you're out there gallivanting around with that piece of shit.
Okay, Okay, I was not gallivanting around with him. I was using him to save a friend.
Unbelievable.
I don't want to. He's a piece of shit. I don't like him either.
You could even pretend. Disgusting.
Okay, Dan, first of all, fuck off. I tried to capture him. I'm really trying. Okay, I'm doing my best right now.
How could anyone believe anything you say, Paul?
Because it all has rational explanations.
I don't know that it does.
I mean, that's your fucking opinion, Dan. Oh my god, Dan, I literally, for the first time ever, say I'm sorry, and this is how you're gonna fucking talk to me. I'm sorry, I can't believe you right now. Dan, I should call the police
on you.
You're
gonna try and gaslight me, Paul?
No, first of all.
You're just like him, aren't you?
Dan, you're the fucking pilot light, excuse you. How dare you? No, again, I do not want to have anything to do with him. That was something I had to do because I was put in a bad position where I either let my friend die or I work with him for a couple hours. Those were my choices. What would you have done, Dan?
And I think this is the part where your mom probably intervenes. She's gotten up from the couch and she kind of like puts herself between you and Dan and puts her hand on your chest. Paul, I'm sure you did what you did for what you thought were the right reasons.
Yeah.
And I love you.
I love you too, Mom.
I think I just need a little bit of time.
Yeah, without Dan. Dan, if you could leave.
I want him to stay.
No.
At least for now.
Mom, you picked me over him the first time. You were right the first time. You can't pick Dan. You can't.
I'm not choosing him over you. Please.
No, you're choosing Dan over me right now. Mom, I told you I didn't want to. He's the worst. I agree. I don't like him either. Don't pick Dan. Don't pick Dan.
Listen, it's not an either or scenario.
No, it's
it
me
doesn't
or Dan.
Have to be.
No, it is. You're picking me or Dan right
oh,
now.
Oh, so it's an ultimatum now?
Yeah, it's me. It's your son. It's your blood, or it's Dan.
I refuse to make that choice.
Well, it looks like you've picked Dan. I'm gonna fucking punch Dan in the face. I'm still gonna do it. I'm still punching Dan in the fucking face.
Oh my god!
I fucking
yeah, yeah, you do. And I think I don't think anyone is expecting that sudden outburst of violence at this juncture.
Yeah.
You hit him square in the nose.
Good.
Just a fountain of blood coming down.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, frick. Oh. And his hands come up.
He would say, oh, frick. I fucking hate Dan. Oh, my God.
All right. And your mom was like, all right, I'm calling the police. This has gone too far, Paul.
Oh, fine. Fuck you. Fuck you, Dan, especially. But, Mom, I never thought I'd have to say fuck you to you. But fuck you, Mom. I can't. Fine. It'll all make sense later. Just think about it. And I'm just going to storm out. Go back to the
I think she reaches out and grabs your hand and she's like, please, it doesn't have to be this way, Paul.
You're calling the cops. Why would I stay here right now?
I don't have to.
Oh, I think we've very well established you can't make choices correctly right now. And also, even if you wouldn't, I know Dan would. Dan, would you? I'm gonna like look at Dan bleeding on the floor. Like, Dan, you would call the cops, wouldn't you, Dan?
I think Dan has like made his way over to the bathroom, or not the bathroom, but the kitchen, and he's got some like paper towels, and he's like trying to soak up the blood from his face.
Fucking Dan.
He's like, yeah, I would.
Yeah. Fucking.
fucking Dan.
Mom, I have to go. If Dan's in this house, I have to go. It's not safe for me here, clearly. It's not safe for Dan.
And she lets go of your hand. But she's looking down, and you can see tears streaming down her cheeks.
Mom, I love you, and I swear it'll all make sense. I'm going to get him back. I promise you, I'm going to put him back in prison for a long time.
I don't think she says anything back to that. She's just, like, overwhelmed with emotion.
Okay.
Crying.
And I will leave and head to, probably to Max.